I too welcome each of you here this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Christmas is a fun time. Most of us have good memories. You just kind of feel the extra buzz in the atmosphere as we think of families getting together and just all the activities, and you get a little break from school and there might be some vacation. And it's not difficult to see which season we're in, right? It's not hard at all. It's everywhere. Everywhere you go, you see lights, you see Christmas decorations. You can just kind of feel that buzz. And we know that a lot of people put great care in preparing for Christmas, right? We take great care in decorating, making sure that everything is right. We choose the perfect gift. We might buy clothes for special occasions. We'll clean the house and we'll get everything ready. It reminded me of this popular Christmas poem. You know, everybody knows, 'twas the night before Christmas, went all through the house. The house was all in order, and they were there waiting with anticipation. This says something about Saint Nick and his reindeer, but we know that isn't happening. But as I looked at this poem is almost 200 years old. First written in 1823, it's almost 200 years old. I found that interesting. But yes, we don't have a Santa, we don't have reindeer, but I was blessed by Kevin's devotional because there were several people that were prepared. When they saw Jesus, they knew he was the one. Simeon and Anna, blessed by their statements. And that they knew that this was the promised one. So again, I don't think anybody in their right frame of mind is going to wake up next Sunday morning and have no idea that it's Christmas. We are prepared, and we sang about we believe in Jesus. And this morning, my message, again, is probably nothing new, but it's exciting because Jesus came. And I'm going to preach a Christmas message, as it were, and I'm going to be looking at some prophecies. And so prophecies, again, are just a reminder. They are a confirmation that Jesus, who is who he said he is going to be. So the title of my message is Our King Has Come. And like I said, I think most of us believe. There's no doubt. I just want to look at these prophecies again. Because we see a people in the Old Testament that were not prepared. They were in a dark time. And yet they had these prophecies. And of course, you don't always connect the dots. It was mentioned about being ready for Jesus' second coming. And so I think at our time here, what am I missing? What are the signs that I'm missing that Jesus is coming? And what are some of those things? Like to just begin, and I'm going to be reading several different scriptures, and they're all going to be in the New King James Version, so it's easy to follow along. Just want to begin with Malachi 3:1, where it says, "Behold." And one thing that the one word that kind of is a recurring word that you're going to hear in today's message is "behold." It's like look, see, listen, pay attention, whatever all that word will mean. But behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. According to what my studies have found, Malachi was one of the last words that we can read in the Old Testament, written about 430 B.C., and so this was some of the last words that the people had of that day. And he says, behold, he is coming. The one that you seek is coming. The one, it mentions the messenger, which referring to John the Baptist. He's going to come and he's going to prepare the way. We know the message that he preached, John the Baptist, was prepare and repent. So they had a forerunner. Somebody that was already proclaiming Jesus is coming. And we know that there's preparation. When our president goes somewhere, there is preparation. People go ahead of him and they scout out, and it's a lot of work if you read up on that, of all the work that goes in. Even if just the president would want to visit Woodlawn Church today, they would have scouts, and they do all sorts of things to make sure that it's safe. But here, a messenger was sent before Jesus to proclaim that he is coming. So today I'm going to be looking at seven prophecies, and just the whole subject of an eternal God, a holy God, one that existed throughout all eternity, coming as a human. It's incomprehensible for someone to come at a level of human conception and begin there is far out. It's one that is amazing and profound, and I can't even really grasp what all that is. But first I want to look at, number one, the virgin birth, which we all know about the virgin birth. And I'm going to be reading from Isaiah 7, verses 10 to 14, just trying to explain a little bit what was going on here. King Ahaz was worried about several enemies coming and taking over. And Isaiah is telling him, don't worry, they are not going to overtake you, you're okay. Isaiah 7 and verse 10. Moreover, the word of the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. And here God was giving him, you ask what you want, I'm going to confirm it so that you can have confidence that I'm going to protect you. So this was the context here. But Ahaz says, I'm not going to ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then Isaiah said, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But you will you weary my God also? Then he comes with this, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel. So here was a sign for the world. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and she's going to bear a son, and we will call his name Emmanuel. Turn now, if you want to, turn to Luke 1, 26 to 38. I just want to read this portion of how it came about. Luke 1 and verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And again, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this now is the sixth month of her who is called barren. For with God nothing is impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Again, amazing. Nothing is impossible with God. You would think that this word would have traveled fast. And we know the story of how Joseph wanted to put her away and just wanted to keep this thing quiet. And we know that Mary left for several months as well. But here it was, the fulfillment of Scripture. A virgin shall conceive. And that is going to be a sign for you, for mankind. And I like the response of Mary. You know, sometimes God asks us to do difficult things, but with God, nothing is impossible. Joseph and Mary were obedient. And again, just thinking about Isaiah 53 and that the words there that Jesus was just going to be a common man, just normal, just a common person, lowly, born to some poor country folk. Amazing. So that was number one. Number one sign was a virgin was going to conceive. The second one is born in Bethlehem. Micah 5:1-5. We sang about that song, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Micah 5, "Now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against you. He will strike the judge of Israel with the rod on the cheek. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she is in labor, has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace." Bethlehem was a small town, considered small in the eyes of some of the other cities around. And obviously we know when Joseph and Mary came there, everything was full. Maybe like on Ship Shawan on a Saturday night these days. It's full. There is four times as many people there as our residents there. But anyway, they couldn't find any place. But to get them to Bethlehem, God used a king, Caesar Augustus, that wanted to do a count and told everybody to go to their hometown. And Joseph was a descendant of Joseph or of David, and they needed to go to Bethlehem for that. So God brought them there, and we know how that was fulfilled in Luke 2. Bethlehem was maybe not in the top 10 cities to live. It was just a small, off-beaten town. But again, God prophesied that Jesus was going to be born there, and he was. The third one, worshiped by shepherds. This one comes from Psalm 72, verses 6 to 9. So this doesn't necessarily say that he was worshiped by shepherds, but it refers to those that dwell in the wilderness. Psalm 72, verse 6, "And he shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. In his days the righteous shall flourish, and abundance of peace until the moon is no more. And he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust." This was also written in the time of Solomon, and some of this can refer to Solomon, but not all of it. So it is believed that these refer to the one who was coming, that was Jesus. "Those who dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him." And again, revealed in Luke 2, when the shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night, the angels appeared, and they made haste and came to Bethlehem and worshiped him. "Those who dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him." And that happened. Number four, a star. Where do we find that? That's in Numbers 24:15-19. Again, it's really interesting how these Old Testament writers probably really had no understanding exactly what all they were writing, but they were inspired to write this. And this goes back to Balaam, when Balak wanted him to curse the children of Israel, and it was the talking donkey. This was the time that this has happened. So Numbers 24, "So he took up his oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, and the utterance of man of the man whose eyes were opened. So Balaam had this encounter. His eyes were opened. And the utterance of him who hears the words of God and his knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and batter the brow of Moab, and destroy the sons of tumult. And Eden shall be a possession, Seir also his enemies shall be a possession, while Israel does valiantly. Out of Jacob one shall have dominion, and destroy the remains of the city. A star shall rise, and we see that fulfilled in Matthew 2, when the wise men come because they see a star. They saw something in the sky that they recognized as not normal, something that was holy or different, and they came to see this and recognize this will be the promised one. So the next one, so that was number four. Number five was they're going to bring gifts. Psalm 72, we go back to Psalm 72, the one I referred to a little bit ago. Again, this was written about Solomon in the time of Solomon. So Psalm 72:10, the kings of Tarshish and of the Isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. And we know that they brought him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And just really quickly, what a unique set of gifts. The gold I could maybe be okay with. The frankincense and myrrh don't seem like very good gifts. But yet, these wise men brought gifts. One, gold stands for royalty or kingly. The frankincense is more of a worship, a scent, referring to Christ's divinity, and myrrh for his suffering. The next one, we have that children will die. It was prophesied that children will die. And this goes back to Jeremiah 31. It says this, Jeremiah 31:15. Thus says the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children will come back to their own border. And that fulfillment was found in Matthew 2:16-18, if you want to return to that. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry and sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which was determined from the wise men. That was fulfilled, what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. What a dark side of Jesus' birth is that these many children were put to death because Herod was going to get rid of a king. Okay, and the last one, number seven, he's going to come out of Egypt. He's going to be called out of Egypt. Hosea 11:1, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. This was obviously referring as well to when the children of Israel were in Egypt in bondage, and God called them out. And then again, this was fulfilled in Matthew 2, verses 13 to 15. And when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he rose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, out of Egypt called I my son. Wow, seven prophecies fulfilled to its exactness, we have no doubt that Jesus is the one. Jesus was born a king. How often does that happen, that a child is born a king? It doesn't happen, because you're born a prince and then you become a king. But Jesus was born a king. He is royalty. He comes from royalty. And Christmas is such a good time to celebrate just Jesus' birth. And we do that, and we have many wonderful things going on as well. But just to finish up in the message here, who is Jesus? And referring to Psalm 24, you have two verses that says, who is this King of Glory? David was asking that. Who is this King of Glory? Who's coming? Who is this? Just looking at several passages, Matthew 1, verse 21, he shall be called Jesus. First of all, he shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So Jesus is our Savior. Verse 23, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So God is here with us as well. And then the passage in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Just thinking, Isaiah had such an insight, and with some of the things that he penned were just amazing to me. And he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it, with the judgment and justice from that time forward and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Just these verses were just, they really spoke to me. And just looking at the five names that he spells out here, for the one that is coming, Jesus, the one that is coming, the child that is to be born, first of all, he's going to be wonderful. He is worthy of that name. With all the miracles he did and everything that he taught, Jesus truly is wonderful. He is also counselor. He has perfect knowledge of everything. He has perfect wisdom. He can give insight to all of our problems. He is our counselor. Mighty God. He's truly all-powerful. And to imagine that he came as a helpless babe. He is the Almighty God, all-powerful. No situation was a match for Jesus. And the Pharisees tried in many different ways to trap him, and Satan tried to tempt him, but he did not yield. He is Everlasting Father. Jesus' life did not begin with the life of Mary. Jesus was way before then. He was present at creation, Scripture says. He was there. He helped create the world. Yet he subjected himself to human life. He is the Prince of Peace. Those that are without Christ cannot know peace as those that know Jesus. Jesus bridged that gap. Jesus brings peace. In his kingdom, there will be no end. There's no end to this. Jesus is on the throne of David forever. And there's a little phrase at the end of what I just read here in verse 7. It says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God is passionate about the human race. God loves us. And nothing was going to stop this. This was written, 700 years before Jesus. And Isaiah prophesied this, that this child is going to come. God loves us, and nothing is going to stop that from happening. And God used many different people and many different situations to bring that to pass. But his passion, God's passion for us, and in the lost state that we were in, was going to happen. God was going to provide that perfect sacrifice for the human race. He was going to bring about salvation. God loves us so much. truly Jesus is the reason for the season. And I just found that these prophecies, again, just a fulfillment of these, and it is impossible that a human could prophesy, that this could be prophesied by another human. But God used these people to do that. I thought that was just a blessing and a confirmation again. We truly have a reason to celebrate Christmas. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we just bow our heads before you. Again, we're amazed at how you used prophecies of old and how they were fulfilled. And you gave the signs that you were going to send Jesus, the one that will reign forever, the one that will be our sin sacrifice. And we thank you for providing us salvation. And Father, throughout this Christmas season, we want to just glorify you. And we want to share that good news with those that we meet that may not know it. So Father, we just pray a blessing upon each to hear today as well. We pray this through Christ. Amen. Just like to open it up if there are any comments from the congregation.